वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जाया मुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15। ओम इति आदेशाम आद्याय नत्वा तम सुरवंदिना उर्वशीम अप्सरा श्रेष्ठं पुरुष्कृत्य दिवं याहु। ओमिति आदेशम आद्याय नत्वतम सुरवंदिना उर्वशीम अप्सरा श्रेष्ठं पुरुष्कृत्य दिवं याहु। Something wrong? Om iti adesham adhyaya natva tam suravandina urvashim apsara shrestam purushkritya divam yayo. Om iti adesham adhyaya natva tam suravandina उर्वशीम अप्सरा श्रेष्ठम पुरुषकृत्य दिवम ययो। Matajis. Translation, Om iti, chanting Om to signify agreement. Adesham, his order. Adaya, taking. Natva, offering obeisances. Tam, to him. Sura of the demigods. Vandina, those servants. Urvashim, Urvashi. Apsara Shrestham, the best of the Apsaras. Purakritya, placing in front, out of respect. Divam, to heaven. Yayu, they returned. Translation: vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the servants of the demigods selected Urvashi, the best of the Apsaras. Placing her in front of them out of respect, they returned to the heavenly planets. Text 16. The servants of the demigods reached the assembly of Indra, and thus while all the residents of the three heavens listened, they explained to Indra the supreme power of Narayan. When Indra heard of Nar Narayan Rishi and became aware of his offense, he was both frightened and astonished. Text 17. The infallible supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has descended into this world by his various partial incarnations, such as Lord Hamsa, the Swan, Dattatreya, the four Kumaras, and our own father, the almighty Rishabhdev. By such incarnations, the Lord teaches the science of self-realization for the benefit of the whole universe. In his appearance as Hayagriva, he killed the demon Madhu and thus brought the Vedas back from the hellish planet Patal Loka. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is stated in the Skanda Purana that the Lord of the Universe, Hari Himself, once appeared in the form of a young brahmachari named Kumara and spoke transcendental knowledge to Sanat Kumar.
Om Jnan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Besha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So happy to be again having the fortune of speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we are reading the fourth chapter of the 11th canto. The discussion between Drumila and Maharaj Nimi. As we have been studying from the last couple of chapters, the Navayogendras are instructing Maharaj Nimi. Very interesting that there's always a knowledge which descends there's a gradient created out of questions. The question is nothing but creates a gradient and creates a flow. The question is naturally a situation in which a person puts himself lower. And if something has to flow, it has to be from high to low. It can never be on the equal platform, and obviously it can never ever be from low to high. So what we find again and again, the Bhagavatam, which is in a form of a discussion where some personality is asking a question and others are answering that question. Little do we really, many times we are not so cognizant of this very, very important process of knowledge descending down. And that's why we should be a little aware that how these great souls, not much maybe known about many of the people, now many of us do not know much about Dhrumila. I mean, I have tried to do some research, not much is known about this person. But the fact is, this personality is appearing in the Bhagavatam pages. He is very, very great person. And the fact that this discussion is appearing in Bhagavatam between Maharaj Nimi. I think Bhagavatam, we know personalities like Prahlad, Dhru. No doubt they are very, very famous personalities. But we also have personalities who are like background heroes. They may not be in the forefront. One of the personalities who really, really inspires, I'm sure, all of us is Dadichi Muni. He just appears, it's less like a guest appearance. We have a movie, just somebody comes guest, but he does a major change in the whole movie sometimes. He comes as a guest, but there's a major change. Similarly, Dadichi Muni, we know the Vritrasura is famous, Indra is famous. But can you imagine how special Dadichi Muni must be? That a person who is young, and he just comes in one portion of one chapter, or two at the most, one chapter actually, of the whole Bhagavatam. Very special. So I think if we become conscious and cognizant of these personalities, then we actually get into the mood of praying to these personalities. And these prayers to their lotus feet will actually invoke blessings, will invoke auspiciousness in our lives. So while we are sitting as students of Bhagavatam, whether we are speaking or hearing, it is the same service. But we are all, whatever roles we are playing in the Bhagavatam class, we are all trying to seek blessings of these personalities through these wonderful instructions that are appearing in Bhagavatam. So that's the consciousness that I'm sure most of us have. And if not, it's something that we should cultivate. It is not some, for many of you, it is an activity which you do every day. You come, it's for those who are inmates of this ashram, it is an activity which is compulsory. You may have to attend it. Or maybe, if not compulsory, but something highly recommended. So you do it. But actually speaking, if you can simply imagine the fortune that we have to really hear these instructions. And in this particular verses, we are covering the beautiful pastime of Nar Narayan Rishi, wherein at this juncture Nar Narayan Rishi has given a gift for Indra. Some time back I came across an interesting episode which happened in 1920. The Maharaj of Alwar is a place, very rich personalities. But of course, at that time, India was under the British rule, so they were very powerful, very rich. Still, there was some lot of richness. So he went to, he was on a visit to England, London. And he was walking on the streets of London. And of course, naturally, as a Maharaj, he would wear very opulent dresses and jewelry and everything. If you see the photographs, they are not dressed like normal, usually. But obviously when he's walking on the street, he's just seeing things around, he will not wear his gowns and his jewelry. He was just walking as a normal person. So he looked at like a normal person. Not to say that Maharajis look abnormal, but I'm trying to just say that he was dressing like ordinary people, not like a Maharaj. So walking on the Baker Street, there's a very famous Baker Street in London. And he saw a big showroom of this very famous car. Even now it is one of the top famous cars, Rolls Royce. He saw a showroom and said, let's find out what exactly this car all about. And so he went inside the car and naturally there was the salesperson was a British person. So, you know, Rolls Royce, we all know, I mean, it is extremely, it's nothing less than $500,000. The minimum will be, you know, 2 to 3 crore rupees. $500,000 is what the price would be. So, I'm sure at that time it was one of the top brands. So when somebody like this who was looking Indian, who was looking very simple, he came, so this person looked from top to bottom and he said, sorry sir, this showroom is not for you. Please leave. So this salesman was very snobbish and he was naturally maybe proud of his being a Britisher, and they had a tendency to look down upon Indians, which even now we find many of times we have this unfortunate situation. So he looked down upon this. I said, please, I mean, you know, this place is not for you. He just told this Maharaj, he said, this place, not knowing who he is, this place is not for you, please go away. So, and he was of course wearing a pant and shirt, so he was looking very, very ordinary. So he went to the hotel and then he told his secretary, phone that Rolls-Royce salesperson that the Maharaj of Alwar is coming to see the Rolls-Royce. Oh, and then they realized, oh, Maharaj of Alwar. So they put a red carpet and everybody was standing, and this Maharaj came in his Maharaja dress, very opulent, and everybody was saluting him and welcoming him. Actually, a red carpet was laid for him. There's a photograph if you go on the internet. Red carpet was laid by the Rolls-Royce showroom to have him inside. And because he was dressed very opulently, the salesman didn't recognize it was the same person who had come an hour back. So he said that, okay, I want to buy 6 cars. And actually he gave a down payment, full down payment cash, and with the cost of transportation, six Rolls Royce. Usually they sell 6 Rolls Royce maybe in a year. And here this person is saying that here is Maharaj, and he got the Rolls Royce transported, and he was in India, and he called the municipality. This is a fact story, and their photograph also. He called the municipality and he said, use them as garbage dumps. Use them to collect garbage from the city. All the 6 Rolls-Royce cars. So, you know, the news spread, and there were photos also that there was a Rolls-Royce car, and in front they put 2 brooms, and the car was moving, and the brooms were cleaning the street. They stuck the brooms. And they would collect all the garbage and dump it in the... And he ordered, this is how we should use 6... And literally, the whole brand of Rolls-Royce was going down, the word spread. They started making significant losses, because people who had Rolls-Royce, they couldn't really be any more so proud. They said, well, I have a Rolls-Royce. What is so proud about it? Because the Maharaj uses for as garbage dump van. So, you know... Because he wanted to show. The point I'm trying to drive is, I said, you guys don't underestimate a person. Don't judge the book by its cover. Most of the time we judge the book by its cover. The cover looks nice, the book must be nice. Or the cover looks ordinary, so it may not be good. Huh? And then of course we know that they realize the mistake, the company was making losses, so they really sent, they found out the details, and they asked the salesman, and the company sent an apology letter. And surprisingly, it was also a noted fact that in order to apologize adequately to the Maharaja for the disrespect shown, they gave him 6 more cars free of cost. I said, but please don't use their garbage cans. Please use it for your transportation. So you must be wondering why I'm saying this story. Similar year. Naranarayan Rishi. People are mad. Indra and all demigods are mad after celestial beauty. And that too, their celestial beauty in feminine form is very bewildering. People are mad after celestial beauties and feminine beauties. So he said, oh, you people are looking for beauty, is it? And of course, I'm sure we all have gone through this understanding. The background to this is the Naranarayan Rishi, we're doing tapasya. Indra feels very, very threatened as usual. And then he sends apsaras to bewilder Naranarayan Rishi and thinking that, you know, this will work as it works all the time in other cases. And, you know, Naranarayan Rishi obviously had nothing, I mean, the Lord, Naranarayan Rishi is nothing but, they are the son of Dharma and Murti, the 13 sisters of, or the 13 daughters of Maharaj Daksha. So each of daughters married Dharma and gave birth to various beautiful children. And here is Naranarayan Rishi was born to, when Dharma married Murti. Murti is the personification of all auspiciousness. When all auspiciousness meets Dharma, gives rise to devotion. When all auspiciousness, Murti nothing but the sum total of all auspiciousness. Murti means a idol, Murti means a archa, but archa, the Murti that we are talking about is that when archa takes the personified form of all auspiciousness, that's Murti. And when that daughter of Daksha Murti, which is all auspiciousness, gets married to Dharma. Dharma means religiosity, religion, doing things in a dharmic way. And of course, there's the whole, Govind Prabhu gives a beautiful seminar on, the Dharma family, the whole different beautiful understanding which he gives, that how when Dharma married different daughters and what gave rise and what is the actual understanding of it. So in this case also, when Dharma, which is religion, marries all auspiciousness, the personified form of all auspiciousness, give rise to Krishna consciousness, or to Krishna in this case, Naranarayan. Very powerful. So he was doing tapasya. He was not going to be bothered by all this apsaras who were sent by Indra. And as explained, when the demigods were leaving and they realized, we are so sorry what we did for you. And they were just wanting to pass on the message to Indra. Naranarayan Rishi was just smiling. He just smiled. This is a very interesting point. You know, when people who are great but who are not actually great, when they get insulted, they throw their weight around. What do you think you are? Don't you know how great I am? I mean, you have seen that, right? If some great person, you know, so sad sometimes, I went to a restaurant, I know, and restaurant, the moment somebody enters a restaurant, they feel they are special because there are people to come to give you a menu card and they serve you water. So automatically that act makes you feel you are special. And even though you may be just, you know, even though a waiter may go to other restaurant, he may be served, but he may be actually a waiter. you know what I mean? So it just makes you feel nice. So we have heard it also, that by mistake something falls on somebody's shirt and they throw such a tantrum. What do you think you are doing? Why? Because people think they are great. And when they actually are not great, and when they're insulted, what comes out is all negativity. But there are people who are great and who are actually great. Interesting. People who are great and who are actually great, not just great from the world perspective, but who are actually deeply grounded and into what real soberness is, and the greatness is coming out of their being very sober and being very, very mature. That gives rise to the feeling of, if they are insulted, forgive and forget and let's go on with life. This is interesting. You'll see, mature people will not really make a big fuss about being insulted. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead with this. But those who are hollow, they make a big fuss. So Naranarayan Rishi, they were the God himself, Indra, insulted him. He could have created a sense. What do you think, Indra? What do you think? You think you can always, you know, do all these things? You didn't recognize who I am? But as he explained the previous verse very nicely, Bhagavatam explains that he just smiled slightly. Yes, it's okay. And I said, by the way, he just told all the demigods. Narayana said, and you know, as I explained, you know, two beautiful apsaras came from his thighs. I said, you know, select any one of them and take as a gift to Indra. And when the demigods saw, as explained, the beauty, they were stunned. Urvashi means one who has come from the thighs. Uru means, as also explained in Sanskrit, that Uru means the heart and Vashi means who can capture, one who can capture the heart of anybody. And we know what Urvashi does once after that. She comes in the Bhagavatam so many times. Obviously if her role is quite interesting of bewildering people. She bewilders Pururava. She was bewildered herself by Arjun. And of course we know what wonderful thing happened. I'm sure you know the story. Yeah, so Urvashi is a very interesting person, a gift. Just coming out of the thighs of Narayana, something casual. But she became the pride of heaven, of Indra. Something very casual became the pride of Indra. So similarly, you know, many times seeing the story of this Maharaj of Alwar, and he was quite humble, he was not proud of being a Maharaj, but you know, it's important to put people in their rightful place sometimes. As you should know where you really belong to. Right? So what Narayana Rishi did is that, Indra, here you are. You are very, very proud of beautiful women and you keep on sending them, trying to bewilder other people. Here you are, a gift from me. And she became, I'm sure to this day, is the most, is written in the verse also, Apsara Shrestham. She is the Shrest Apsara, even to this day. And can you imagine the beauty of the damsels? And you can imagine the Shrest of the damsels, Urvashi. And you can imagine how great is Arjun. Can you imagine how self-controlled this person must be? That he goes up and people flip for Urvashi. People go mad after, and here is Arjun. He's there for some business. He said, I want to just learn the Divyastra and get going. I was just on a very clear mission. And Urvashi really falls for him. and he says, well, you know, I like you. Arjun said, well, thank you, mother. Thank you, Devi. And she was insulted. I said, Apsaras are never devis of anybody. They're never mothers of anybody. They are simply objects of enjoyment. What is this you're talking about, mother? So no, because you shared life with my ancestors, Pururava. He's my ancestor, so obviously you are like my great, 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 great grandmother. So I see you as my mother. And of course, we know the curse which came. I said, you lose your masculineness for a year, and of course the curse came to the benefit of Arjun. But here is the greatest of devotion. The greatest of devotion is that you don't fall for external beauty. That's the power of devotion of Krishna. Arjun, he had that. So it was just something that he could easily take in his stride. So what we learn from these two interesting episodes is that when Narnara and Rishi were insulted, you know, as we discussed, they were what I would like to call very udara charitra, very, very broad-minded in their understanding. And they said, go ahead with life, yeah, take a gift from us and give it to Indra. But when the demigods, as the verses explained, when they came with Urvashi in the front and they explained what offense Indra you have done. So the verse explains that Indra was fearful and astonished. Fearful for the trouble, for the mistake that he did, which unfortunately, you know, he commits very often. And astonished, he said that, how is this people? Because the tendency of when we think we are great, we always undermine other people. When you think you are not great, then you obviously will respect everybody. But when you think you are great, when you get convinced that you are great, you undermine. And then when somebody does something greater than you, the natural outcome of that is, you are astonished. How is this possible? How did you do this? So Indra was fearful and astonished. And this is the outcome of what is Udar Charitra and other is Swarthi Charitra. One is broad-minded, other is very narrow-minded. One is selfless, other is selfish. And then, as we have heard in the previous chapter, Nimi Maharaj was heard from Drumila that one has to understand the various incarnations and which incarnation is going to inspire you in your devotion. If you remember, this was the previous chapter, chapter 3, on the verse number 52, this was mentioned. And hearing this, when Nimi Maharaj heard that, okay, we should find the incarnation which inspires you, because there are so many incarnations, millions and millions of incarnations, but which incarnation inspires you, you should worship that incarnation, so that you can find your devotion for that incarnation. And Nimi Maharaj was keen to find, which is that incarnation which inspires me. And that's why he asks Drumila to narrate various incarnations, to find out which incarnation is inspiring to him, to his devotion, for his devotion. Right? So here this whole chapter is the incarnations of Godhead. That's the name of the chapter. Because again, this is something which was done previously in the Bhagavatam, but again this keeps on happening. Why are the various incarnations discussed again and again and again? It is discussed that the Lord comes as Vara, as Vamana, and you know, and here again they are saying he comes as Hamsa, he comes as Dattatreya, he comes as the four Kumaras, he comes as Rishabdev, the partial incarnations. Why is it this? What is the reason of this particular thing being happening? There must be some purpose. Why should Bhagavatam repeat the incarnations again and again? What is the reason? Because if you see, you know, the main purpose obviously is to purify ourselves. When you keep on hearing the wonderful pastimes of the Lord again and again, the same Narasimha we discuss in the 7th canto, then again we have a slight mention in the 9th canto, then nice slight mention in the 11th canto. When we hear this, we get purified. So yes, the point of the purpose of Bhagavatam is to purify ourselves. Another thing is to show the Lord's supreme potency. That how the Lord is so wonderful, and we hear the same thing again and again in different ways. The same Krishna coming in different ways, you feel wonderful. So nice. So when you appreciate Krishna, you make progress in Krishna consciousness. But one of the main purposes, as explained by one of our acharyas, Vishwanathacharya Thakur explains this. And that one of the main purposes when he's explaining about the various incarnations is that to appreciate the Lord's compassionate nature. Very interesting. The devotees, when we hear the various incarnations, we must appreciate the Lord's compassionate nature. And how is this? And how do we really do this? And why should we do this? Because, actually speaking, whenever the Lord comes, why does He come? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanil bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shridanmayam. So, there is very beautifully explained in the Bhagavad Gita why the Lord comes again and again to establish dharma, to analyze the miscreants. But does the Lord really have anything to do with the material world? I mean, I don't have anything to do with, for example, you know, if there is some, you know, some fight happening on the street. Some two people are fighting on the street. And you are going in your, in a BMW car. Right? You are just, and of course these people are not blocking your road or something. I mean, for you the natural thing is just to drive on, right? And most of us will do that, right? Yes? Just to drive on, why waste time? Let them keep on fighting. I have nothing to do with it. But if you find a person who is quite comfortable in his BMW car and it is quite hot outside and two people are fighting, it's a crowd there, he stops the car and he goes and he says that, okay, why are you fighting? Is there anything I can do for you? Can I help you? Now what do you call that person? I said, this person is really going out of his way to help somebody. He has nothing to do with it. But he's going out of his way to help somebody. Similarly, Vishwanathacharya Thakur explains, every incarnation who comes, he actually has nothing to do with this material world. We are simply suffering the cause of our own karma. Right? Because we revolted, we are in the material world and we are supposed to suffer. That's this place all about. But why is it that the Lord comes to this material world? Because He really feels compassion. He has nothing to do with it, but still He comes. He's enjoying in His Vaikuntha planets, which is like a comfortable car. He's happy. But He comes, gets involved with this world. so that people can relate to him, can appreciate him, to understand the compassionate nature, the nature of helping people. And this is something which is going to be a sort of little a theme for the discussion in the next 10-15 minutes. The purpose of helping others. The Lord comes to help others. The Lord is coming again and again to help others. He has no other business. So our whole purpose is to help others. I was just giving a thought that, you know, sometimes, I mean, nowadays through because of the social media and WhatsApp, haven't we come across so many videos and phrases and stories which are very nice to hear? People are helpful, people are kind, people are merciful. I'm sure we all come across so many. It's just like we are overwhelmed with a barrage of so much information, and we read it and we feel nice. You know, for example, you know, there was a video where there was a traffic jam. The trees have fallen. People are honking, gong, 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 gong. And there's a school bus. Many of you must have seen. And a boy comes out and he's all raining. He's all drenched. Then he starts, he wants to push the tree. No? And then he inspires people. More and more people come and then push the tree. And I'm sure all of us saw it. And the first thing what we did, usually the reflex, press it and forward it. Right? As I forward it to people. Oh, this is so nice, so nice, so nice. Because it is natural for all of us to appreciate when other people do something good. And we say, oh, so nice, so wonderful. It's so natural. Right? When you hear somebody being kind to somebody, when suppose somebody is running, but he finds a blind person, he stops, and we all know he's running, and he helps the blind person to cross. What is the feeling all of us have in our heart for that few seconds or few minutes? Positivity, right? You feel nice seeing this. But just imagine, in the same way, a person comes out of a very, very, again, a fancy car, and comes to a hawker, and he wants to buy something. And he says, hawker says, so and so price. Arey, itna mehenga deta hai. Thoda sasta karo na. So what is the feeling you have at that time? Arey, yaar, kaisa aadmi hai? He is such a huge, beautiful car, but he's fighting for few rupees here. And you might call him either greedy or conjuice or whatever. Right? So the point is, that it is natural for human beings to appreciate acts of kindness, acts of basically, let's put it in the category of acts of positiveness. Positive activity. Being kind, being merciful, being loving, being caring, blah, 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 and different things are there. We naturally appreciate it. It's so natural. But it takes us much more enthusiasm and much more commitment to really do something when you get inspired. It's so easy to just appreciate it and just be the way we are, isn't it? But we need to go to another level of conviction to really get inspired by it and do something similar of what we have seen or what we have heard, isn't it? It takes a different level of commitment and courage and sort of going out of the comfort zone to really do that. So what we see many times, you know, what we see many times, unknowingly though, for sure, unknowingly, that as devotees, our whole basis of our, especially of our movement, the ISKCON Society and the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, is primarily based on Janma Sarthakari Kar Paropkar. That's the basis. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was all about Paropkar. Right? Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunavatirno Kalo Samapayatum Unnotva Jalara Samsa Bhaktim Shriya. These beautiful words, Anarpita, something which was never ever given before. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is such a Damo Mahavadanyaya Avatar. We said, my obeisances to that. Mahavadanyaya Avatar, the most munificent Avatar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why was he munificent? Because he gave which no other incarnation has ever given before. ಅನರ್ಪಿತಾಚರಿಂಚಿರಾತ್ ಕರುಣಾವತೀರ್ಣಗಳು ಸಮಪದ ಮುನ್ನೊಚ್ಚು ಜಲರಸಿಂಸ ಭಕ್ತಿಂ ಶ್ರೀಯ ಹರಿಪುರದ ಸುಂದರ ದುತಿ ಕನ್ನಪಥದ ಪಿತ ಸದಾ ಹೃದಯ ಕಂದರೆ ಸ್ಮೃತ್ವಾ ಸಚಿನಂದನ. ದ ಆಥರ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಮೇ ದಿಸ್ ಸನ್ ಆಫ್ ಮದರ್ ಸಚಿ ಬಿ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಟೆಡ್ ಸಿಚುಯೇಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಚೇಂಬರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಯೋರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್. ವೈ ವೈ ಇಸ್ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಚೇತನ ಟು ಬಿ ಕೆಪ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಚೇಂಬರ್ ಆಫ್ ಯೋರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್? ವಾಟ್ ಡಿಡ್ ಹಿ ಡೂ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಕೀಪ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್? Resplendent with the hue of molten gold, he gave which no other incarnation has ever given before. And what does that mean? He's talking about his munificence. Talking about his desire to give, give and give. And when we hear such stories, when we hear stories of Srila Prabhupada, how many times have we repeated, how many times we have heard, and we don't still get tired hearing of Prabhupada's merciful nature, munificent nature of giving up the comforts of Vrindavan, going to the age of 70, facing 3 heart attacks, and the suffering that he had in America. We repeat these stories and we feel inspired by it. But just like as I said, it's one thing to hear the story, it's one thing to appreciate the story, is one thing to forward the story. When I say forward, it might be forward through some technology means, or forward could also mean to speak about the story to somebody else. But it's one thing to actually be inspired by that story and do something much more than what we were doing before we heard that story. And I have no right to judge anybody, but what I can see for myself is that slowly but surely the desire to extend ourselves, which is the USP of, as we call, the unique selling point of our movement, extending ourselves, that tends to reduce, that tends to become more and more less in our lives. At least that is what I see in my own self. When some devotee is suffering, I say, well, I want to help, but you know, I'm just so busy. And slowly says, what I care, somebody will help. When I see some disturbing situation, yes, we must understand, janma sarthaka kari kar paropkar. No doubt. How can you help others if you're not taking care of your own selves? That's why janma sarthakari is very important. And what we are doing right now is doing that. The whole morning program is for janma sarthakari kar paropkar. But if you just become too much of janma sarthak kori, then the problem is what I heard Satyananda Swami saying in one of his lectures, which really hit me, that you start loving yourself too much. We are fallen too much in love of ourselves, he said it, and that really hit me. That janma sarthak kori, you know, I will take care of myself, and then we start loving ourselves so much. He said, stop loving yourself too much and do something for others. And that's why Dhrumila is springing up with these incarnations. And again, every incarnation is here because of his compassion. And Nar Narayan Rishi came, as we're discussing a particular incarnation of Nar Narayan Rishi, to give knowledge. And as we go further in the 12th canto, we will hear the beautiful instructions they give to Markandeya Rishi. Similarly, Hamsa, Hayagriva is mentioned here. This all to protect knowledge or give knowledge. The fish incarnation, they retrieved the Vedas. Why? To give knowledge. So the best thing to do in our life is to extend ourselves and to share this knowledge with others. And the best way to share knowledge, or rather I would say the better way than sharing knowledge, is to be an exemplary person of practicing that knowledge. So Krishna shared the knowledge, but Mahaprabhu Chaitanya practiced that knowledge. That is more important. And that is what Srila Prabhupada has given inheritance to all of us. Ask ourselves, are we really missionaries? Srila Prabhupada always said that ISKCON devotees are missionaries. What is a missionary? Missionary means a person who is ready to sacrifice. And please be sure, my dear friends, I've time and again we have seen that you just cannot help others without sacrificing some comfort yourself. Not possible. You have to go an extra mile, as we say. You have to go that much, a little more out of your comfort zone. But many times, you know, as Satyananda Maharaj says very clearly, that we start loving ourselves too much. And then he was elaborately explaining, and he asked the audience a question, and which on his behalf, maybe I'll just put on to all of us. I said, honestly ask yourself. I said, honestly, let's underline the word honestly. Ask yourself, how many activities we are doing in our Krishna consciousness also, which are exclusively meant to please Krishna? And he said, underline the word exclusively. And when I asked that question, I tell you, it is very revealing and very, to some extent, very depressing. Because we realize, if you do that same exercise, you may also realize that majority of the activities which we do are not to exclusively praise Krishna. There are so many mixed things there out there. So many desires are mixing out there. So many ambitions are mixing out there. And that is why we may be doing the acts of a missionary, but we might not have the substance of a missionary. And that is the whole purpose why this incarnation is repeated again and again, to inspire us to go beyond what we are doing now, to extend ourselves to be actually missionaries, to do something for the world. And believe me, why is it that Kali Yuga, in one sense, is the most abominable age, but in the other sense, is explained is the most worshipable age? Why is it that it is worshipable? Because there is so much abandoned opportunity to help others. I mean, in Satyuga, you maybe have to search the opportunity to help others. But people don't need help. Because, you know, what help? They're all very qualified people. Well, they don't need help. You have to search. You need help? No, I don't need. You need help? I don't need. Because they're qualified. But in Kali Yuga, there's unlimited. You just walk out of this, step outside, and you see somebody suffering, somebody dying, somebody in illusion, somebody in ignorance. Unlimited opportunity. Of course, Janma Sarthakori. To spend the morning in the temple, Janma Sarthakori. But the evenings go out. And similarly, spend few months for your Janma Sadhakari, but spend few months of the year to do Paropkar. And similarly, spend few years of your life to Janma Sadhakari, but spend few years of your life to do Paropkar. And this applies to everybody, my dear friends. It doesn't really mean that whether it is a white dress or a saffron dress. We all need to be missionaries. We all need to do something for the mission. We all need to be rightful claimants of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. That yes, I am follower of Prabhupada and I feel for the people. I feel for the world. That's something which we need to really see. If you are doing well, continue and increase. But if the overall process and this whole concept of just starting to love yourself too much is bogging down our, or rather is dampening our enthusiasm to be missionaries, then let's do something about it. Because Krishna loves people who take spara dukhe dukhi, who suffer for the suffering of others. And that's unlimited stories after stories after stories after stories. But I find myself just so wonderfully appreciating these stories, but just so much in the state of inertia that you don't want to do something further about it. This is my story, of course. And if it is your story, you know, maybe it is similar. Let's not get that too bogged down, and let us get inspired. And that is why Nimi Maharaj is saying that let's hear and get inspired. Oh, the Lord is so compassionate. What Narayan Rishi is so wonderful. You know, what is the Lord to do tapasya? The Lord was doing tapasya. Narayan Rishi is the enjoyer. Is Lakshmi Sahasrara Sambrahma Sevya Manam is the Lord of the Vaikuntha. Why is he doing tapasya? He was doing such intense tapasya in Badrikashram that Lakshmi Devi felt so much concern for the Lord that she actually came as a tree. And she came as a Badri tree. Just to, because it was snow for a good portion of the years and it was scorching heat, so that she said in the heat she would protect the Lord and provide warmth in the summer. And that's why the Lord is called Badrinath. Because Lakshmi Devi came as the Badri tree to protect the Lord. Because she just couldn't see the tapasya of the Lord was doing. Why the Lord has to do tapasya? Why the Lord as Vamana Dev has to go to the lower planets to be a doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj? Because of the Lord's love. He goes out of his way to show his love to people, and doing that he puts himself in a lot of trouble, lot of suffering. And when you hear this, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur explains, when you hear such activities of the Lord, we get inspired. The Lord does it. He doesn't have to do it. He does it. I should do it as well. And all the more for all of us, because we are in the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took sannyas. He gave up, as we say, he gave up his beautiful wife, gave up his loving mother at a tender age of 24. Very, very promising career of being a very, very... He could have been a wealthy grammar teacher. Give it all up to take sannyas. These stories are not just to hear. These stories are to hear, to get inspired by it, and go out and do something for the world. There's tons of things that is required to be. The world needs missionaries. So I was just trying to share this idea that Vishwanath Chakra Thakur shares about one aspect of why, what we should be learning when we hear the Lord's incarnations. I found it quite interesting, a very interesting understanding. And what we also shared is the understanding that Satchinandan Swami Maharaj gave us, that let's stop loving ourselves too much. Because there's no end to how much you can love yourself. The body will want more and more and more. There's no end to it. You can do so much and still do much more. But at one point I say, okay, fine. This is fine, enough. Now let's, I've taken care of myself adequately. It will never be enough. And the wonderful thing is, if you take care of others, Krishna will take care of yourself. So let us rekindle, let us reignite, or rather make it more bigger, the flame of being missionaries in the movement of Srila Prabhupada, and just follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, that how that flame of being a mission for his spiritual master, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittete Koryo Akya Arana Koryo Mane Asha. This line is so very important. As disciples, we all need to really put this in our heart and just constantly kindle that desire of being a missionary. And whenever we get a chance, and whenever we really get the opportunity to go out and share the wonderful mercy that we have been so much fortunate to receive. And by sharing, we increase our own fortune. So I thank you all very much. I'm sure I've spoken much beyond my own realizations. But I to do due justice to this verse, I think this is what we wanted to share with you all. Thank you very much. Any questions? Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.